Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying the ghost stories here on this show, be sure to check out our true crime podcast called True Crime Today. Search it wherever you download podcasts. Myself, Carol Hughes, Stacy Cole, all discuss the latest in many true crime stories, dark, disturbing, and sometimes just plain crazy. Check it out, True Crime Today. Search and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of one of this week's episodes of True Crime Today.
On True Crime Today, a police department reopens a 40-year-old cold case. Thanks to new DNA evidence, then a Florida man arrested after trying to flee deputies on a riding lawn mower ends in his arrest. Also, a father hears his 14-year-old daughter scream as she hangs from a Six Flags ride and takes action to save her. Finally, police fear an anesthetist who raped a pregnant woman while drugged and undergoing a cesarean likely carried out identical attacks on two other mothers the same day. I'm Peter Jennings. Thank God I died before you all went fucking crazy.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
So he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today starts now.
And indeed it does. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of our program. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. So it was an experiment. He's a little computery sounding, but I just got that put together this morning before we went on the air. But we brought Peter Jennings back from the dead.
Yeah, I like it. I really like it.
He sounds pretty close, you know, but there's some tweaking that needs to be done. I was just really curious as to what it would sound like having him read current day headlines. But I like the last line I put in where it's, thank God I died before you all went fucking crazy.
Oh, isn't that the truth? There's a lot of craziness going on. I've got a little story that I didn't even mention to you before we decided to start rolling here. That I think you're going to be like, what the fuck's going on?
Really?
Yes.
Well, we can start with that one if you want.
Okay. Well, she used to be a friend of mine. I used to be in roller derby with her.
Okay.
Her name is Brianna. And she posted in our neighborhood Facebook group that was out walking her Great Dane, which is a big dog.
Yeah. Okay?
That's a giant freaking dog.
Yeah.
And a guy passed by on a motorcycle. He circled around and then lagged behind for a bit. I wondered why. As he passed me on the road, I looked and waved hello. But then I realized why he lagged. He was exposing himself fully out of the leg of his sport shorts.
Oh, my God.
Then he circled around her again with his little weenie wagging outside of his shorts. So my neighbor, I texted it to her because we walk in the neighborhood all the time.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, we probably need to watch out for this. And her response was, wait, he's on a motorcycle? How is he doing that? Like, how?
Yeah.
How are you? I mean, physically, how is the wiener hanging out so people can see it, but you're keeping your motorcycles, you know, upright?
Does he have like the leg or the leg pant like really pulled up or something? And then it's kind of wedged between the fabric and his leg. I don't know. Number one, what the fuck makes you enjoy that? I don't know. I don't understand what on earth would be pleasurable or anything like that about doing something of that nature. That's just creepy and fucked up.
Yeah, riding a motorcycle it can be challenging at times. We have a lot of gravel on our streets for some reason. So, you know, he was risking a lot to make this happen because
you fell.
You know, he's not focusing on the road.
Yeah. Get a little road rash on there. I think it might be the end of that right there.
Yeah. But, you know, we've talked about it before where I've gone on this rampage of, you know, women are not into the visual wiener. Mm-hmm. That's not our thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But guys don't seem to understand that.
They seem to keep thinking, you know, this is a power play. He's trying to exert control over a woman for some unknown reason. Otherwise, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, you don't put sunscreen on your wiener, so you don't ride around with it exposed in the hot sun.
But do you think you did? Do you think he did put sunscreen on it? You know, just in case, since he was doing
on purpose.
He's like, I better sunscreen that. You know, anything that's exposed.
You know, and is that an SPF 15 or do we go up to 50? Because, you know, it's probably delicate skin.
Well, you got to consider, you know, it's based on time. The numbers are. So you got 50 minutes there of riding around with your dick out. If you do an SPS 50, a 15 really lowers your amount of time of protection from sunburn your dick. So
I hadn't thought of it that way.
There are things you got to think about, you know,
I'll have to check the package next time.
That'd be like a ridiculous.
See what their recommendations are.
That would be a ridiculous lawsuit right there where he gets arrested and he sues the sunscreen company because he gets sunburn on his dick.
Yeah, he got dick cancer.
There was no warning about what he should be putting. That's and he'd win. That would just be part of the course on how the world works today.
Yeah, there would be absolute warnings on all the sunscreen because, you know, from now on, we need to let you know how long this will last on your wiener.
And then there'll be a new section, you know, next to all the new men grooming products. It'll be ween screen or something like that. So it's ween screen and it's sunscreen for your penis when you just want to expose it to women going on walks. And it's ween screen and it's a spray bottle and that's how it would work.
Yeah, I suppose you would want a spray versus a cream. You wouldn't want to have to rub that on, would you? That would create a whole. Yeah.
The fucked up thing with people like that is, you know, if they do get caught, the penalties are usually very low because they didn't physically attack anybody. And I mean, I would be running DNA on that individual very quickly to see, can we link him to any other crimes? But if he's not, then it's like, well, you know, 30 days in jail and there's no corrective measures taken. This person will go out and do it again until
this escalates.
Yeah, until something horrible does happen, and then they give him a stricter penalty. But it's like, look, I think, you know, talk about warning signs. That's a warning sign. That is a huge warning sign of a human being that's not fit to be playing with the rest of the group. And there's no timeout that's going to change that. Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to start looking at things a little bit more extreme, where it's like, okay, we need to change this. We can't just put them in the timeout chair and hope it gets better. We're like perpetually in this world of daycare where we treat everything like it's just, okay, let's go put them in the timeout over there. And
you were naughty.
They'll learn from it. They'll because they were sitting in the corner. No, they won't. They will not learn shit.
They're probably sitting in the corner going, okay, well, if I can't do that.
Yeah.
What else can I do?
They're sitting in the corner simmering on their memories of the last time they did that and then plotting their next round.
Yeah.
Is what ends up happening.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe that. I think we're coddling people. I mean, driving around on a motorcycle with your dick out is a huge warning sign that, number one, you decided to do this.
Yeah.
It's not like it happened and you went, well, that was a cool reaction. No, you had to pull your wiener out while you're on a bike, which isn't safe. So this is a very calculated risk that you're taking.
Yeah.
You knew exactly what you were doing.
And what if the answer is just, I just like getting some air. It just feels good getting air. But you're circling a woman. No, she happened to be, she was in my path. I just like to go in circles. Mm-hmm. Like there'll be some sort of fucked up. Yeah, that's how it works. Speaking of DNA evidence and such, this is interesting. Police Department, Seaside Police, Monterey Herald is where the story is from, reopened a 40-year-old cold case thanks to DNA evidence. This is kind of what I've talked about before, where it's Christmas time, somebody hands out, oh, I got everybody DNA kits. And you know, there's that one relative that's kind of quiet and off in the corner is slowly sulking, going, oh, shit. Shit. Because then they get linked to the horrible depravities that they maybe stopped doing 40 years ago and thought they got away with. Surprise. 40-year-old cold case involving the murder of a 5-year-old Annie Sang Tai Pham who was strangled to death and dumped in brush in Fort Ord in 1982, has been reopened. A law enforcement collaboration between Seaside Police Investigations and Monterey County District Attorney's Office Cold Case Task Force announced on Wednesday that they had reopened the case. Very little information is being released, law enforcement citing the need to keep most aspects of the investigation confidential as to not impair the case. Deputy District Attorney Matthew Lahore, who heads up the Cold Case Task Force on Tuesday, declined to comment on whether new physical evidence has been uncovered or whether individuals have come forward. When asked if new DNA analysis was a factor in reopening the case, Lahore said would only say that DNA is something we look at for in any case. The task force has received a grant for more than $500,000 for testing during investigation. While Ann Sang's parents are both deceased, Lahore said her living siblings have been notified that the case has been reopened. Neither Lahore or acting Seaside Police Chief Nicholas Borges on Tuesday would say whether a suspect or person of interest has been identified. In a press release issued Wednesday, Seaside Police would only say that new leads had recently surfaced. Ann Sang was walking to her kindergarten class on the morning of January 21st, 1982, when she was abducted and murdered. Her body was discovered a couple of days later in what the time the Fort Ord property near South Boundary Road. An autopsy revealed that she had been strangled. Her mother had been investigated by the U.S. Army's Criminal Investigations Division, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and Seaside Police Department, but eventually it went cold. This is one of the most disgusting or rather disturbing cold cases we've had, Borges said in an interview with the Herald on Thursday. Going through all our files, it's clear there is a monster involved. And while I can't get into specifics, there's a lot of evidence, and I'm hopeful we can bring justice for the beautiful little angel. Within days of her killing, Ann Sang's older brother sat down with the Monterey Herald reporter and talked about his little sister, her shyness, and her sensitivity. At the beginning of the school year, Ann Sang's mother would walk her to school every day, but at some point, Ann Sang told her mother, "Stay home, Mom, I can walk by myself," recounted her big brother. Q Van Pham told the Herald reporter that his little sister was shy but very sensitive to the needs of others. So I guess they haven't arrested anybody yet. But I would think if you were the murderer and you're still alive, they're coming to get you. they're going to figure this out. They wouldn't have reopened it if they had not had a pretty darn good. But it's scary because they're publicizing this right now, or the Monterey Herald is. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's suddenly a surprise suicide in the next couple of weeks. We don't know what happened. Like, oh, we do. he knew he was going to get caught, and then he's deceased now suddenly. So,
you know, it's interesting. I think it was 2 days ago I had an update from 23andMe because I did it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, gosh, when was it? Maybe 10 years ago, years ago. It was probably 8 years ago. And I keep getting these updates of relatives that I've got. So there's just this, it's encroaching, you know? So if you are somebody who has committed a crime and your DNA is somewhere, it's like you said, it is just a matter of time before they're going to identify you. It's coming. So if you're a criminal and you're out leaving your DNA in places, which we all do, your time is coming.
It definitely is. And
you know, we're even doing it for our animals. My cats, I've sent in their stuff to, I think it was Base Paws. Mm-hmm. So their DNA is out there It's really crazy.
Do they ever link the pets to, like, you're related to the cat that attacked several children on a playground in 1984 or anything?
You know, that's an interesting thought because let's just say that there was a hair or something left behind by a criminal, and that hair is specific to a certain dog, and they have the DNA of the dog, and then they track it back to the person.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's that advanced yet, but we're getting there.
We're getting there. Yeah, we're definitely getting there. There's so many things that are cold cases that it'd be a very interesting time to work in that field because you would be able to, it's like this whole new level of investigation that never was thought possible in the past. And now we can, DNA has existed for quite some time, but this idea that everyone is randomly submitting their DNA to these services and then we can trace it. I don't think anybody really saw that one coming. as far as traceability. I think the thought on the criminals was, well, yeah, maybe they have my DNA, but my DNA isn't out there to be tracked. Surprise.
Guess what? Hilda submitted her DNA.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden she's now being looked at for a crime because of you.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they're closing in on people. That's for sure.
That's exciting. What I've been seeing on, I have the Ancestry one, and I keep getting the dings saying, here's people who've matched your DNA who I have no idea who the hell they are.
Yeah, and that's really frightening
and too. That's interesting too, because if you're matching that close of DNA, and some are like very, very far off, but there's some that are fairly close, and it makes you go, who is this? And what did somebody do somewhere at some point? And who was it? You know, is it an uncle? Is it an aunt? Is it a cousin? Is it a something? You're tracing down children and people that many people you never knew about because they never talked about it. And children that were had that were unknown or were purposely not shared with the rest of the group.
That's when it gets really interesting. They're like, wait a second. I'm like seriously related, like 25% DNA or 50% DNA sharing. And I have no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
Dad went on some business trips.
Exactly. It's like, what the hell happened here? Yeah.
That's kind of an unintended consequence of these DNA kits, that all of a sudden you're finding out you have to send out a few more Christmas cards during the holidays to your stepbrother that you didn't know you had until 2 weeks ago.
And you can find things about their lives that you never really knew. Like a Florida man who was arrested after trying to flee deputies in a riding lawnmower. Wouldn't that be a fun one to learn that you're related to?
In Florida.
This guy, a Florida man who avoided arrest earlier this year by driving into a swamp, was not so lucky when deputies returned to him on Saturday, and he tried using a riding lawnmower as a getaway vehicle, authorities said. So he didn't do too bad in the swamp. He did, I think he got away on a boat, and then the deputies were like, fuck
Tony,
that.
Tony, would you do this? A swamp in Florida. Think this through.
Well, if you're used to it and it's your thing and you got a boat and you regularly go out there, you probably are a little more experienced in it than I would be.
But he dove into a swamp.
Oh, I thought he was on a boat.
No, he dove.
Oh, God, no. No. I thought he was like
on a stolen boat, but then he dove in to evade arrest.
No, I mean, that's natural selection right there, that failed. Damn alligators. Do your job. Dusty Mobley, 40, of Holt, kicked a John Deere riding lawnmower into high gear while he attempted to lose pursuing deputies with the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office, according to a department statement in its Facebook page. The chase ended when deputies shot Mobley with stun guns, Sheriff's Office said. This is from NBC News. When taken into custody, Mobley had a revolver and a handcuff key in his possession, along with a pipe with methamphetamine residue, according to the Sheriff's Office. And that's the redeeming line of the story right there.
Yeah.
Drugs were involved. Thank goodness it was. It's just what he normally does. Mobley's hometown, Holt, is about 40 miles northeast of Pensacola in Florida's panhandle. County jail records from Mobley on Monday showed he faces more than a dozen potential charges, including resisting an officer, obstructing police, possession of a weapon or ammo by a convicted felon, drug equipment possession, and grand theft of a motor vehicle. He was being held on no bond, according to the sheriff's office. It was not clear Monday afternoon if Mobley had retained an attorney. So,
you know, those alligators, they really had an opportunity to save the taxpayers a lot of money. It's really unfortunate.
They did. And have a nice meal at the same time. It really,
I would imagine that would be a delicacy.
Do the alligators smell the meth? You know, is it something where the alligators, they're like, no, this is not a good one. It's like when you smell a bad fish. It's like, no, we're not going to fillet that one. This one, there's something wrong with it.
Well, here's what I want to know. So let's say the guy is high on meth.
Yeah.
The alligator eats the guy. Mm-hmm. Does the alligator then become high on meth?
I guess if there's enough in the guy's system that hasn't been digested or processed, maybe if he has like a big old thing of meth in his pocket, then I would think maybe. I don't know. Do different animals, are they affected differently by these drugs? Like, would it take a lot more meth to get a alligator methed out. There's a horror story.
I don't know how they work on reptiles, but I know on domestic cats and dogs, it's really bad. But, you know, you remember back in, was it 2019? Like, oh, goodness, it was before the pandemic. They were talking about meth gators, that people flushing their drugs down the drain could cause hyper-aggressive alligators.
Oh, my God. I was just going to joke about that. And it,
yeah, no, real. That was a real story back in July. Well, about this time, actually, July 16, 2019.
Meth gators. That's holy wonderful. Shit. That's great. Yeah,
please don't flush your drugs. Our sewer guys take great pride in releasing water that is cleaner than what it is in the creek, but they are not prepared for meth. Ducks, geese, and other fowl frequent our treatment ponds, and we shudder to think what one all hyped up on meth would do. And this is out of Tennessee.
Oh, God. There's so many human beings that wander the street that look like zombies. Can you imagine now if there's just like methed out ducks that are like walking around on the street?
Well, Canadian geese, those things are nasty on a daily basis. Yeah. Can you imagine one on meth?
Kind of tripping as he walks. Like pecking at random shit. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
I'd love
How about attack squirrels, you know, squirrels that get into meth. That could be really brutal.
This would just be great for like, you know, play It's a Wonderful World and do little clips of people and animals all high on meth. And then and then break into Brooks and Dunn Only in America. That would be
as we usually do.
That would be great. Here's a fun thing that you like, you know, never ever want to have happen. A dad hears his 14-year-old scream as she hangs from a Six Flag ride and then jumps into action to save her life. Looks like it's one of those gondola things that hang. And I'm surprised more of this does not happen, honestly, because these are like the old school ones, and there's really just a bar that's there keeping you safe. Just when it seemed that nothing could spoil a day for a family at a Six Flags amusement park, disaster ruined the day. A day of games and cotton candy of winding down when 47-year-old Matthew Howard Sr. and his family were starting to hear sounds of frantic screams. According to CBS News, when he looked up, saw a 14-year-old girl dangling about 25 feet off the ground from a gondola ride. Her little brother was in the pod next to her, crying that he couldn't hold on to her much longer. Driven by paternal motivation, Howard and his 21-year-old daughter, Leanne Winchell, raced to the position themselves under the girl with seconds to spare. In a leap of faith, the girl let go and landed in Howard's arms, who took the brunt of her fall. She was immediately placed in a golf cart and sent to the care of the emergency workers on the site. The girl's recovery was a success. She had no serious injuries. Howard, on the other hand, was treated for a minor back injury after the rescue. Howard and his daughter later visited the girl in the hospital and said she was in good spirits. Video of the rescue went viral and over 13 million views, 140,000 likes and over 5,000 comments. Many applauded Howard's sacrifice. This guy is amazing. He'll probably be dealing with back issues for the rest of his life. And I'm sure he knew that he was encouraging her to jump into his arms, one wrote. In a prepared statement, a Six Flags official said, "There does not appear to be any malfunction on the ride. We've closed the attraction until a thorough review can be completed." Looking back on the manic moment, Howard says that his motivation was simple. "I couldn't let that little girl die. No one wants to put himself underneath the body like that, but I couldn't stand and watch it," he said. On that day, Howard found out that even if his own family is safe and sound, danger can be just around the bend. Thankfully, his daddy instincts rose to the occasion in a heroic fashion. I don't like those gondolas that are open air. This would be the type that we're like at the state fair and things like that. And they always like, there's just a bar in front of you. And I'm sorry, it may have worked 30, 40 years ago when people had a little bit more intelligence. These days, don't count on it. You need them completely enclosed because this shit will happen.
It looks like she kind of slipped and like her chin got stuck on the bar and it was blocking her neck.
Yeah.
So she was actually having trouble breathing as well. So she didn't have her wits about her at all.
My gosh. I remember going to, I think it was the Kansas State Fair years ago, and my ex wanted to ride the gondolas. She's like, "Here, you hold Harper." And there's only like room in, and she went in one with the other girl. And so I have Harper, and I'm happy I held her. because I knew I kept her safe, but it was like scary as shit. And she's a baby, you know, she's squirmy baby. Yeah. She was, you know, about, I don't know, 6 months to a year. So she's got some traction, you know, she can move around, and I just held onto her so tight that entire time. And she's trying to move. I'm like, nope.
And yeah, how can you enjoy, you know, what you're doing?
It was,
you're hanging on to your kid for freaking dear life on those things.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. I mean, by myself, I wouldn't have been that comfortable, but holding on, it's, you know, it's like a wild animal at that point. You know, it's like a cat that's trying to escape. Good luck. Just,
yeah.
You just hold it tight and get scratched, and you just go with it. And oh my goodness. I don't like
the video. Things. If you've watched the video, is pretty striking too. I mean, there are tons of people who gathered around underneath to help out, which I thought was amazing because you're really putting yourself in harm's way.
Yeah, it looks like she really landed on a lot of people at that moment.
Yeah, she did. But yeah, that dad's going to have some serious back issues, I would think, because that's a pretty good impact.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But I imagine I could see you doing that with Harper.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'd go get a snow cone and then like, hey, dude, you look pretty big. You know, she'll probably bounce off of you. Could just lay over there for a minute, please. Yeah, you that's eating the fried butter, please do us some good. I'm going to get a snow cone.
Right.
No, I mean, yeah, of course I would be there. But oh my God, that's just. Yeah, wow. Probably time to retire the gondola. Let's go over to this one.
No, this, do we have to?
Oh my God. This is one of those where you, the voices you hear in the back, I was watching the video. This I read and I was like, did I read this right? And I'm like, oh my God, this is real.
I think I did the same thing. Cause I read it and I'm like, wait a second. I don't understand what he did. And then I went back and reread it. And then it dawned on me. Oh my God. He was by her head. Now I'll let you read the story.
So an anesthesiologist who raped a pregnant woman while she was drugged and undergoing a cesarean in Brazil carried out identical attacks on two other mothers the same day. So I'm guessing this wasn't just a same day deal either. I'm guessing this might have been an ongoing thing. Because I don't know what one day you think, I'm an anesthesiologist, I'm just going to go and do this. They allegedly raped a pregnant woman during a C-section.
So if you think about a C-section, they put up a drape. So the bottom half, you know, there's the doctors working on the bottom half because there's a lot going on there. The anesthesiologist is up by the patient's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. May have carried out attacks until, okay. Giovanni Quintanilla Bezerra, 32, was arrested on suspicion of rape after he was allegedly secretly filmed orally raping a woman after he heavily sedated her at the hospital in Rio de Janeiro.
Jesus Christ.
The woman's husband was told to leave the room without being able to see his newborn baby and only found out that it had happened to his wife when he recognized a doctor on television after the arrest.
Oh, fuck.
I've never seen anything like it, said Delegate Barbara Lamba, who was in charge of investigating the case. The woman told family she thought she was having an hallucination at the time of the attack. Well, yeah, I. Mr. Brezza only completed his medical training in anesthesia 2 months ago. Hospital staff were reportedly worried about the amount of drugs he was giving to his patients, so he fitted a secret camera to see what he was up to. They were horrified to see him sexually assaulting the woman as other doctors performed the C-section on her less than a yard away behind a surgical curtain. He reportedly assaulted her for almost 10 minutes.
Good God.
Staff members who recorded the rape said the doctor had already carried out two similar procedures that day, with police investigating whether those two women were also victims of the attack. In the second operation on Sunday, employees said Giovanni wore an open cloak on himself, widening his silhouette and positioned himself in a way that also prevented anyone from seeing the patient from the neck up. In most C-sections, a woman is not fully sedated during the procedure, but the women who went under the knife earlier in that day said they were fully unconscious during the procedure. The only thing I remember from the surgery is his voice. He kept talking softly in my ear. It bothered me, said one of the patients. He asked if I was okay. Two other people said they were also his patients, and they have arrived at the police station in Brazil since the accusations came to light. Giovanni, still positioned toward the patient's neck and head, started with his left arm bent, slow movements back and forth, said the witness, according to G1 Rio de Janeiro. From the movement and the curvature of the arm, it looked like he was holding the patient's head towards his pelvic region. Staff members became suspicious as the doctor would use so much anesthesia to the mother that would be unable to hold her babies after delivering.
An anesthesiologist goes through so much training. They're doctors, that if he just finished 2 months ago, he had to have been thinking to himself the whole time.
This is what his goal is. This is what he was.
Yes.
Yeah. This
it's
is why.
It's not like it just one day, you know, patient's head flopped over and he went, wow, that's really close to my dick. It was probably very calculated.
Yeah. I'm imagining this is kind of a calculated choice that he said, this is what I'm going to school for. This is what I'm going to do. I hope Brazil has like really horrific laws for this, because I know in the U.S. it would be like, well, you're going to go to jail for 5 years.
You'll lose your license.
You
that's all.
You can't practice medicine anymore. And then he gets out and then does it in some other way. Yeah, I hope they like kill him. I hope this is just like, if the father or the husband doesn't kill him, I hope the country kills him. It would be very difficult to be the husband of that person and not kill him over something like that.
Yeah. Every single time your child's birthday comes up.
Yeah.
There's a reminder of how you were raped.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that person
took away an amazing moment. First of all, C-section, those are traumatic. So mom's got a lot to go through. Oh, and by the way, you were raped too.
Yeah.
By somebody you trusted.
I have no words. I have no words. I don't know what to make of any of this. This is like shit that you could never contemplate happening. No. It's like, what's the worst possible thing one could do at this moment? And people are doing it. You know? It's like,
right?
It's like if you played the game, what is the absolute worst thing one could do at this second? And that would be that in that moment in time. And
it would have to be.
And they're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Why not? You know? Jesus.
Yeah, there's no need to keep this guy around. Yeah, first of all, he's very smart. I mean, to be an anesthesiologist, yeah, you've got to be pretty damn smart. And I imagine somebody that smart and that calculated, he is a danger to society.
Completely.
What's next? If this is what he did at age 32, what comes next in the next 5 to 10 years for him?
Well, this is what he did where there was a very high chance of him getting caught as well. He's literally a meter away from people performing a surgery where something could go wrong and they need to immediately communicate with him and break up his rape, which would expose what he was doing. And I mean, this is in plain sight. So what is he doing in the shadows? What is he doing where there isn't other doctors and human beings around that could easily catch him? Or is that part of his thrill of let's rape a woman while she's having a C-section? What the
with
fuck
other people
is
in
that?
The room? I mean, usually you hear of rapists trying to isolate the victim somewhere. You know, like I was talking about with the sicko in my neighborhood who's, you know, whipping his dick out while he's riding a bike. He isolated a woman who was by herself.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is in a room with several other people and a dad who is going back and forth, like wanting to communicate with his wife about what's going on.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of people present during this.
Typically, the dad is right there. The fact that they made him leave is very bizarre. I would have said no, like, no, I'm not leaving. I'll sit over here if you need me to, but I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Why? I don't understand being asked to leave.
Maybe
if there's something really bad going on, like she's crashing and they need you to just get out of the room.
Yeah. If you're freaking out and causing more problems. Yeah, I get that. But if she's he's like, I just want your wife to suck my dick while she gets the baby out.
Yeah.
What?
Holy shit. That's really frightening. We give so much trust to physicians and we should, you know, they've been vetted. They are licensed. They're trained. We trust them with our lives. And then this guy breaks through. So it just, it makes you just wonder a little bit, you know?
It's there's interesting thing here. Years ago, there was an episode of Seinfeld that it wasn't about a C-section, but I think Jerry went in to get like something with his teeth done, and he was under anesthesia, and it was implied that maybe the anesthesiologist and the doctor did something with him while he was under, or they did something together while he was under.
And that I think I remember that.
That was an episode of Seinfeld, like 30 some years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was an absurd idea, but it was like, we all just kind of laughed about it. And like, did this guy get the idea from an episode of Seinfeld?
Well, again, it's art imitating real life and real life imitating art. I'm looking at another website from The Mirror out of UK. And this guy, he thinks he's something else because he's just taken selfie after selfie of himself. And he just looks like he thinks he's the shit.
Yeah.
And he needs to be gone.
That's a scary thing with the generation that's coming up into some of these positions. And the ridiculous amount of confidence and pride that some mm-hmm. people, young people have. Now, self-esteem and being secure is a good thing. I wish I had more of it when I was a younger person. I didn't. I think a little bit more would have been healthy. But I think there's this place now where there's a ridiculous, unearned amount that so many people have this inflated idea of themselves, which ultimately just turns into narcissism. But we get this behavior because they can do no wrong in their minds. And the second somebody tells them no, they become so difficult to handle that people just fucking let them go. Like, you know, whatever, fine. You get so sick of it. It's like, okay, whatever. And then they just surround themselves with like-minded human beings. And that's what gets scary with people, is this constant confirmation that you're the best, you're the greatest, and you're not. And you're not God. You can't do whatever you so damn well please. You're inexperienced. You're young. You need to climb the ladder. But a lot of people don't experience that anymore. They used to be like pride, you know, it used to be a sin. Like it was like literally a sin. I believe in the Bible, it's like listed as like one of the seven deadly sins. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now we're all like, oh, let's like, I understand being proud of something that it's like, okay, you know, you accomplished this, you had this goal, but where it's just like, I'm really proud because of these undetermined factors that I had absolutely nothing to do with. Like that doesn't,
frightening.
I'm not proud. Like what? I don't know. It's fucked up. And then you create monsters.
Yeah. And this is a monster. This is an absolute monster. It'd be really interesting. You know, we do these stories and I don't feel like we get to see how things end up. It would be really nice to do a follow-up on this.
It would. That's when we got to just kind of make a note on it. Then you got to usually do some digging because there's usually not a lot publicized, but there's usually right. something somewhere, probably in some obscure Brazilian, you know, newspaper where it says what happened. But yeah, I mean, we hear the headline. It's just horrific. All right. Oh. That's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. If you guys like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that as well. Until next time, for all of us at True Crime Today, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.